Hey, welcome to Journey.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, if you're still eating, that's great. Go ahead and keep eating. We're just going to go ahead and dive into some stuff. You know what? And we're going to start, let's start with just talking to God a little bit. So let's pray together. Pray with me. God, thanks so much for thanks so much for families. Thanks so much for relationships. Thanks so much for just hanging out and eating food and grilling and just having a good time together, just relaxing, just being able to take some time out of our days and just be together. God, and I pray that brings you glory. I pray that honors you as we grow closer together. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would guess that there's more than a few of us that long for a deeper connection to a God who is real. And I think that as we begin to maybe peel back the layers of our lives and look past the chaos and the busyness or the meetings or the appointments or just the crazy schedules, and if we were to just empty ourselves and turn down the volume that's cranked so high in our lives and just sit for a minute in the silence, just for a minute, just push like the pause button and sit just for a minute in the silence, I believe that every single one of us would discover that somewhere deep beneath the layers of our lives, we long for something greater than ourselves. I believe that we would discover a lot about ourselves in that empty silence. And I think that we search for that. I think that we build layer after layer after layer after layer on top of our lives in a desperate attempt to determine and recognize that which would satisfy this deep longing in our souls. Today we're gonna start with something a little different. And I believe that as we work through this exercise together, it's a very simple exercise. I believe that as we work through this, we're gonna learn a little bit more about the scriptures. So today, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna have you work through a station, and I've got some instructions here on a piece of paper. Can you ladies help me out? Everyone needs to have one of these. So you'll get these. These are gonna be passed out. Yeah, everyone. Yep. And you can work through the instructions on those sheets of paper. And when you're ready, you can make your way to these doors right over here, where we've got some, one of our elders is going to help direct you from that point on. Until then, why don't you sit and just listen to some music we're going to play and read a passage that is going to be scrolling on the screen. So take a moment, read through those directions, and when you're ready, feel free to act upon those. But until then, maybe just sit for a couple minutes and listen. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, Tell me where you've put him, and I'll go get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him at once and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to the brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary, she's a woman who deeply cared for Jesus. And here she is lost in the depths of the darkness of her despair. And her misery wells up and forms tears. And she leans over and she looks inside the tomb. And rather than seeing the body of Jesus, which is what she would have expected, she sees two people dressed in white, two angels. And that part is kind of confusing to me. Mary is so wrapped up in her feelings of depression and despair that she looks straight into the face of angels and she doesn't even acknowledge their presence. I mean, I think I would at least say, like, there's two guys dressed in white chilling in a place where you would normally put dead bodies. You would think that she would at least question that. You would think that she would at least say, what are you guys doing here? Where did you come from? Why are you here? And where is I'm coming here to visit Jesus, but where is he? What's going on? But no, Mary is in such a state of confusion and disorientation. She can't even begin to wrap her mind around the things that are going on right in front of her eyes. And the angels are the first to speak. I say, why are you crying? Why are you crying? This is the first indication that Mary doesn't quite get it. She can't quite understand what's happening. Because they ask her, why are you crying? I mean, you would think that this would be a good thing. Jesus' body is gone and there's these two angels there. You'd think that would be a good thing, but she doesn't quite understand. She doesn't quite get what's happened. And Mary says, he's gone. They've taken him. Where is he? I don't know where he is. And she babbles on and she tries to say that she doesn't know or understand what's happening. And then I love this verse. Check this out in verse 14. I don't know if it's up there or not. Verse 14 says this. She turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He's standing right in front of her. The answer to her grief is right there within her grasp. And she looks him straight in the face and looks away. And Jesus says to her the same thing that the angels had said. Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? And I would think that Jesus would probably be a little bit bummed out. I mean, he does this whole thing where he defeats death and he rises from the dead. The first person that he reveals himself to looks at him, looks straight in the face at him, and keeps on crying. And he asks her, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And she goes on again and says, where is he? Where have you taken him? She thinks that he's the gardener. She says, Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him. Like she's going to go and rummage through the woods and grab this body and carry it back to the tomb. I don't know. And it's here that Jesus cuts through the fog and in the midst of Mary's just confusion and disorientation and pain, and the despair and the hopelessness that just blinds her eyes to the things that are happening right in front of her, that she hears Jesus speak her name. Mary. And with that, immediately, she snaps back to reality. And the cloud of confusion goes away and she understands what's happening. And as her mind begins to catch up, she races forward and she embraces Jesus. And this part catches me off guard. Listen to what he says. He says to her, don't hold on to me. It kind of caught me off guard at first. I mean, why would he say that? He comes back from the dead and she's happy to see him and she races up to him and embraces him and he says, don't hold on to me. And here's why. He says, I have to leave. I have to go back to the Father. I have to go back to our Father, to our God. I'm not going to stay here. It's going to be, from now on, things are going to be just a little bit different. My presence here is going to be a little different. You can't cling on to me anymore, Mary. You can't hold on to me. You can't embrace me anymore. And here's what he says, but instead, go to the brothers. I have to leave. I have to go. I have to go to the Father, to our Father, and things are going to be a little different. No longer will you run to me. No longer will you cling to me. No longer will my words speak into your pain. No longer will my hands heal the brokenness of your world. No longer will my ears listen to your shattered life. And no longer will my voice call your name and call you out of your despair and your confusion. Now, instead, go to the brothers. Instead, go to the brothers, the disciples, these people, these guys who've been hanging out with him for the past 3 years. He says, now, instead, go to them and you will begin to experience my presence in a whole new way. He says, instead, go to the brothers. Last week, if you were here, we talked through the passage that comes right after this, and it's this passage where Jesus does this crazy thing, and we had a lot of questions about it, but he breathes on the disciples. He breathes on these brothers, which was kind of weird at first. And as we worked through that passage, we realized that this breath of God, this breath of life and hope and comfort and joy is breathed into the disciples. And he says, receive the breath, or remember the Spirit. It's the same word. And he says, receive the Spirit, the breath, and inhale it. And then I want you to go out and I want you to breathe this breath. And he sends them out and says, breathe the Spirit, the breath, the life, the hope, the comfort, the joy of God out on other people. And this is my presence in the world. If you were to read on through the Bible, you'd read passages where it describes the church as the body of Christ. The church as Jesus' presence here in the world right now. That you and I and all of us together, we make up the words of Jesus. We make up the hands of Jesus to heal each other, to care for each other, to comfort each other. We make up the presence of Jesus in the lives of one another. This thing you did back here is probably pretty weird. You had to take off your shoes. You go back there and you get blindfolded. So you can't see anything. And we had this, I don't know if you could tell or not, but we had this oil burner back there, supposed to smell like roses, but you're supposed to put 2 drops in it for like a whole room, and we poured the whole bottle in. So it's probably pretty strong. I didn't go back there when it was going, but I'm sure it was probably pretty strong. You probably caught on to that. So you've lost your sense of sight. Your sense of smell is probably pretty confused. Then you begin walking along the length of the hallway, and you walked over all kinds of different things that you wouldn't have expected to walk over in the hallway. Your sense of touch is just all over the place. You don't really know what's happening. There's music playing, but you don't know where you're going or where the end of the hallway is or what's going to come next. And then all of a sudden you hear someone speak your name. And no matter how confused you were or disorientated, you removed the blindfold and things for you became just a little bit more clear. And just like here in the story with Mary, Jesus speaks your name. He calls you out of any confusion in your life. He calls you out of any hopelessness or desperation. He calls you out of the hard parts of life. And he speaks your name through the people who are sitting right next to you. But so often we don't hear his voice. So often, just like Mary, we miss out on it. And we don't even recognize that it's him who's speaking. We can be crying out for Jesus. He can be standing right in front of us, speaking our names through the people around us. He can be longing to heal the brokenness of our world that just suffocates us. And we can look right past him, because we don't recognize his voice in the people who are sitting right next to us. Look next to you. Do you recognize Jesus in the person sitting next to you? Here's a funny thing. Mary, she knew Jesus was going to come back. She knew the grave couldn't hold him. She'd been hanging out with Jesus for a long time and heard him say these things about how he was going to return, how he was going to rise from the dead. Mary knew that he was going to come back. And yet, when he really does, she looks him right in the face and doesn't even recognize him. And I think that's because Mary was looking for something like supernatural or like spectacular or like unimaginable. And like, I wrote this, something super spiritual, like maybe Jesus would come back and he was 15 feet tall and glowing, and maybe he'd wear a t-shirt with his picture on it. But no, it doesn't happen that way. He appears to her and he has just this normal conversation with her. And because of that, she doesn't recognize. And I think we do the same thing. I think we often don't recognize the presence of Jesus in each other's lives because we're expecting something supernatural, something super spiritual, something amazing. Do you know the times that I have experienced the presence of Jesus in my life more than any other times are one time I just sitting on a couch with some friends watching Saturday Night Live and laughing at how funny Will Ferrell was. Another time, we threw some steaks on a grill, and we just hung out and we talked about life. You realize that? So often we look for Jesus in these amazing supernatural things, and Jesus is in the ordinary, Jesus is in the normal, Jesus is in the conversations that we have with each other, Jesus is in the presence of the church, Jesus is all of us together. So stop looking for Jesus in the supernatural, in the unordinary, because he's longing to speak your name through the people who are sitting right next to you. He's bringing you joy. He's comforting your soul. He's healing your world. He's meeting your needs. He's answering your prayers through the people right here, through us as a church. Now, one last thought from this passage. This summer, this serious thing that we're working through, it's called Alive. And today, the teaching for today is called God Alive, or Living God. And we see here in this passage that Jesus rises from the dead. He's alive. And not only that, but listen to this passage, the end of this passage, last part. It says in verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Not only, like from last week, are we to inhale the breath of God, the comfort, the hope, the peace, the life, but we're to exhale that breath out on other people. Here, Mary, she at the very end, she gets it. It clicks for her. She finally grasps what's happening, and she begins to understand, and she could say that she inhales this breath of life. And she goes and she begins to breathe it out on other people. But I'm not sure we're all the time, if we're really willing to do that. I think we're maybe pretty ready to to breathe in the breath of life that God breathes out on us, but it's a little bit harder to breathe that breath out on other people. But here's the thing. God is longing to speak my name, Brad. He's longing to speak my name through you. He's longing to bring me comfort when my world breaks through you. He's longing to heal me and bring me joy through you. Rhonda, God longs to speak joy into your life through us. Josh, God longs to care for you, to comfort you through us. This is why house churches are so important here at Journey. More than this, way more than this. We try to do it well here. The sole reason why we do these dinner things and eat together so we can connect better, so we can get to know each other a little bit better, and maybe be the presence of the church and be the presence of Jesus in each other's lives. And we do these station things and work through teachings and sometimes get together in groups. But here's the thing. You can't experience the fullness of the life that Jesus has for you outside of a group, a connected group of friends. You can't. At Journey, we call them house churches, but you can do it in a lot of different ways. Like for me, I mean, I was talking about just hanging out with friends, watching Saturday Night Live. That was before Journey, before house churches. There's lots of very different ways. We do it here through house churches, but I just want to say that Jesus longs to speak your name. And sometimes that means that we have to draw a little closer to his voice. And that's all of us here. So we're going to do just an announcement piece. Maybe Chad, you just want to pray and then throw up some announcements. And.
Now I'm in a better spot. Thanks. All right. Yeah, I'd like to. Brad, thanks for that. I've enjoyed very much spending time with you guys, being able to do the cookout things, and then last week after we were talking about this idea of, you know, breathing the Spirit out upon people, and it just was so clear to me. God was telling me exactly what it was I had to do and what exactly that would mean. And so I left here and went, well, not straight. I went and got ice cream first with some people. And then and God was cool with that. And I was like, okay. And I went and spent about 3 hours in the home of some people that I just needed to spend some time with. And it was one of the best times of interaction I had had with them, and talk about just experiencing what that is like, just breathing, you know, breathing all the things of God, peace and grace and joy and mercy into each other's lives and stuff. It was sweet, and so just great reminders. And the house church thing, it's also important. By the way, did you hear exactly the thing Brad's talking about? We heard about it even before Brad spoke of it tonight, right here. He's talking about Gilbert and what Gilbert and his family's been able to do. It's right. I mean, did you catch that? It's right there. So that's awesome. Well done. That's exciting. We are a church. Here's what we say: we want to help people discover God, love others, and repair the world. And hopefully, some of that has happened tonight. One of the other, particularly that last piece, repair the world. One of the things that we're doing is a couple weeks ago we sent whoever was here. We sent everybody to see the movie Evan Almighty, and the idea there basically is God comes to this guy and says, "You want to change the world, right?" And he's a politician. He says, "Well, sure." God says, "Well, so do I." And they had some different ideas exactly how that would happen. God said, "Well, it's going to happen one act of random kindness at a time." As people do things. So, what we have been able to be a part of as a result of all that is this Ark Almighty thing, and actually it's posted on our website. You can check it out. The basic idea is this. If you need something, if you are in need of something or a service of some kind, or can offer that to someone else, that's how it happens. You go, in fact, you can do this right through our website. You can click on that link, and you can say, I have beds to give away, or I need a bed, or whatever it is, and then others kind of check that out, and you just, people start hooking up with you, and we start kind of taking care of each other in that way. Isn't that a cool idea? Isn't that sweet? Now, these t-shirts, PJ, right here, he has one on. I had one here at the table. Abby, will you grab that? PJ made up a bunch of t-shirts for us about it, and it was cool this week. I heard of some people saying how they were wearing it around in different places, and people started asking questions about it. I know that was true of me. I'm wearing it, and somebody goes, what's that all about? And you guys were in Cedar Point, and someone was going, what's that all about? So we have one of these. Well, last week we had one for everybody. There are still some left in the back. In fact, this is a large, and it is for somebody who does not have one that would wear a large. I'm going to go right over here. Kevin, make sure you run back there as fast as you can. Knock people out of your way to get one, okay? But I didn't quite get, I need one of those guns to fire them up. So, t-shirts are available there. But one of the specific ways we also want to be of help, we have somebody in our church who has offered to host a garage sale at her home a couple weekends. She started it this past weekend. She wants to do it another weekend, Danetta Hoogerhide. And the idea is, she's calling it Raise the Roof or something like that. We're trying to raise money so we can repair, basically replace a roof for somebody else who is part of our Journey family. So, if you have some things that you'd like to just sell, get rid of, get off your hands, Danetta Hoogerhide, you could contact us at the church office today, or this week, sorry. Don't do it today because I'm not going in. But sometime this week, okay? That was that. And a couple more quick things. A meeting for Wet and Wild. Wet and Wild is one of the biggest things. In fact, it's the last big thing we do this summer. It's a great way to reach our community, love on people in our community. A ton of cool things are going to happen this year, more than have in the past. There's a meeting about that this Tuesday night and next Tuesday night at Wendy's, 5 o'clock, okay? You can eat a Frosty before dinner even, okay? And talk about Wet and Wild. So if you can be there, this is a huge thing that we do. It's a great ministry to the community. You can talk to Rhonda about that, okay, if you'd like to some more. We were asking, what are some of the great things God's done? And I'm looking at Dave and Becky Conrad's going, this is a great thing right here. And they are here with us tonight, all the way from Iowa City, okay? Dave and Becky, pastor, they lead our daughter church out in Iowa City. And it's so good to have you guys around. It's so fun because when we say, hey, we think Conrad's going to be your people, a lot of people just kind of lights them up, you know, like, oh, sweet, Dave's a good guy, you know, stuff like that. So, no, I mean, you know, people love you, they're excited, and they love Becky. They go, Dave's a good guy, and that Becky, she sure is good looking. You know? Fortunately for Dave, you know, no. So it's great to have you guys, and it's a blessing to have you as part of that and all the things God's done there. You were all probably hoping to go stand around a big hot fire tonight. We were going to do a bonfire tonight. We're not going to do that, okay? One, it's too hot. Two, just a little too windy. We didn't want to, like, burn a neighborhood down or anything, okay? So we're going to pass on that this evening, okay? I'm sure that makes sense to you, but thanks to the Fishers, they were going to graciously offer us their home, and they probably will another time, I would guess. I don't want to speak for you, but okay, all right. So, hey, make sure you get a t-shirt. I'm going to pray for you. You know, as soon as I'm done praying, go get your kids immediately, okay? Because they probably would like that. That'd be awesome, okay? Anything else? Did I miss anything? Anybody? All right. It's great being with you, and I hope you have a great week. And thanks for being here tonight. Let's pray. Lord, oftentimes I think it's just a weird thing that you have decided you would presence yourself in the world through people like us, and that we are going to be your body in the absence of Jesus himself. We thank you for that, and yet it's scary, it's confusing, it's hard. Sometimes we're hurt by one another. Lord, we want to learn to love each other well, and we want to be part of your work of rebuilding, repairing, restoring, renewing. Help us to do that well. Help us to be a church that does that well. As your Spirit moves in and throughout our midst, Lord, as we breathe in your Spirit, might we breathe it out upon one another and upon the people around us. Thank you so much for our time together. It is a blessing and a joy. And Lord, as you go with us this week, might we hear your voice more clearly. Help us to do that. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Amen. Have a great week, you guys. Thanks so much for being here. It's good to see you.